playing the piano for us today. We have some wonderful musicians in our church. I appreciate both of them. Well, maybe there's more than that, but so at least two or three. I'll look out there and see somebody else that plays. So, we have some wonderful musicians in our church. Now, if we could just get more people who lead singing, that's what I'm hoping for.
You're doing a good job.
Thank you. Our text today is Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 15 through 20. And I just want to start off by reading the text. Colossians 1, 15. Speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, I pray that you help us to understand it and to rightly divide it and to apply it to our hearts. And Father, I pray that we live it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the Mormons are meeting down the street over here in their place of worship. And they meet there every week. And they don't know my Jesus. I'm sorry, but they just don't. Paul talks about a different Jesus in 2 Corinthians. And that's what they have. They have a different Jesus. According to them, Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. The spirit brother of Lucifer. Not Almighty God. According to them, God became a man whose name was Elohim, and he had a temporary marriage with Mary and conceived Jesus. And so Mary wasn't truly a virgin. She had sexual relations with a man named Elohim, and that's how Jesus was conceived and how he was born, according to Mormon doctrine. They don't believe in a virgin birth. They don't believe Jesus is Almighty God, come in the flesh as Emmanuel. They don't believe he is God with us. You see, they don't know my Jesus. They don't know my Jesus. The Muslims, they have their religious gatherings on Fridays. They pray every day. They're very religious. They believe in Jesus. But they believe he's a prophet. They don't believe in my Jesus. They don't believe in the Jesus that this book tells us about and that we worship. You see, to them, Jesus was no more than a man that heard from God, no different from Abraham or Moses or Muhammad. Just a man. My Bible tells me Jesus was the God-man. He was a man. He was 100% man. But he was 100% God. Yep. That's what our text just said in Colossians chapter 1. They don't believe Colossians 1, 15 through 20. They don't accept that. They don't think that's accurate. They don't believe Jesus is Almighty God. They don't believe in my Jesus. The Jehovah Witnesses, they meet every week. Actually, they meet two or three times a week. And the Jehovah Witnesses claim to preach and believe the Bible, but they've rewritten the Bible, and they call their rewritten Bible the New World Translation, which is nothing like a legitimate translation. In fact, the guy that wrote the New World Translation was asked to translate a passage in Greek at a German courtroom, and he could not do it. So they teach that Jesus is a God, not the God. They teach that Jesus is only some kind of lesser God. But then they'll turn right around and tell you that there's only one true God. And so if Jesus is any kind of God at all, he must either be the one true God or else he must be a false God, according to their own doctrine. And according to our scriptures, Jesus is the Almighty God. He is the real God. God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's not three gods, folks. That's one God in three persons. And that's what the Bible teaches. That's my Jesus. So I bring this up because I want to know, do you know my Jesus? Do you know my Jesus? We have the liberals today. We have liberal pastors who preach right here in Sterling, Colorado. I can name at least two of them who don't believe in the literal physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. They question the virgin birth, of course, because they don't believe in miracles. They stand in a pulpit and they preach from the Bible. I mean, they use this book, but they're very selective about what portions of this book they preach from. They'll talk to you about loving your neighbor. They'll talk to you about being friends with others. They'll talk to you about being kind. And they'll tell you to avoid being offensive to anybody. They don't believe in the miracle of the virgin birth, the miracle of the resurrection. They don't believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. They believe Jesus died. They believe he lived. There's too much evidence to deny that. But they believe that he died and he rotted and decayed in the tomb. Nothing miraculous. They don't believe the Bible. They pick and choose the parts they like. You know, I had one of their church members the other day. I said something negative about people who are fornicators, people who have sex outside of marriage. And one of them said, "How can you say that?" I mean, just very offended at me because I would say that sex outside of marriage is wrong. How can you say that? I thought you were a pastor. That was her, yeah, that was her reasoning. I thought you were a pastor. You're supposed to be kind and forgiving. I said, I am a pastor, and that's why I call a sin, because I believe the Bible. If it's in the Bible, I believe it, I preach it, and I practice it. You see, they don't believe in miracles. They don't really believe in the Bible. And they don't know my Jesus. And they're not trying to help other people find my Jesus either. I believe in the real Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible, that's my Jesus. How about you? Do you believe in my Jesus?
Amen.
We go back to our text in Colossians 1:15. It says that my Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That word image means icon. It's actually the Greek word icon. And it means that he is the duplicate. It means that he is the perfect duplicate, the perfect representative of the Father. He is the perfect revealer of the Heavenly Father. That's my Jesus. He reveals God, the Father, to us. Some tell us God could never be known. Well, that's because they don't know my Jesus. And they don't know their Bible. The Bible reveals Jesus, and Jesus is the image of the invisible God. You know, the Father cannot be known by simple human reasoning. You can know about him, but you can't really know him. You can figure out that there must be a God by simple human reasoning. You can figure that out. But you can't really know the Father without a revelation from God. John 1:18 says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." No one has seen the Father, but Jesus has declared him. Jesus has revealed him. That's because Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That's my Jesus. Do you know him? Christ is the only perfect image of the Father. That's my Jesus. That's the Jesus of the Bible. Do you know him? My Jesus is the firstborn of every creature. Do you know him? The firstborn of all creation. Now, we get a little confused about that because that language is kind of archaic. We think, oh, that means he was born before everybody else. No, that's not what that means. The word firstborn is actually a term that is used as a title just as often as it is used to describe. This is not a description of Jesus as much as it is a title of Jesus. You can find that usage in Exodus 4:22 and Psalm 89:27, where the term firstborn is used as a title rather than as a description. Because Jesus wasn't born spiritually. He's not born like all other creatures. And we'll see that as we continue in this text. It's impossible that he could have been born. And we know that as the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write this, that he was not confused about who Jesus was. So if we have all of this in this context, we know there was no confusion from word to word, sentence to sentence. So this title, firstborn, denotes priority and preeminence. It signifies the position of Jesus Christ. As the firstborn, he existed before all creation. As the firstborn, he is preeminent above all creation. Jesus is not created. Jesus is the creator. John 1:3 says, all things were made through him, and nothing was made that was not made through him. So how could he be made if he made all things? Did he make himself? You see the foolishness of that idea? He made all things, and nothing was made that was not made through him. It doesn't make any sense to say that Jesus created himself. Jesus was here before all things were created, because he is the creator. All things were created through him, and all things, as we'll see in a moment, were created by him. He is the firstborn of every creature. Colossians 1:16 again, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. So he's either the creator or else he was created. Obviously, the text is telling us he is the creator. And he did not create himself. He existed before creation. So he, in point of time, is before all things. And if he existed prior to the existence of all created things, then he himself is not a created thing. But he is above all things. Note the use of the word is. Christ is. He is the I Am, the eternal one, the self-existent one. He's always been, and he always will be. That's my Jesus. Do you know him? Do you know him? Many don't. There are many false Jesuses, many false Christs. Point number three. My Jesus is the owner of all things. My Jesus is the owner of all things. In verse 16 again, it says, all things were created by him, the last part of the verse, all things were created by him and for him. If everything that is created was created for him, that means he owns it. He's the boss. That's my Jesus. He owns it all. Everything. Nothing that was not created outside of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And everything that was created for him. So he owns it all. The entire universe was made by him and for him. Everything you can see with your eye, and everything that you can see with your telescope, and everything that you can see with your radio telescope, and with your satellites, and everything else, Jesus made it, and Jesus owns it. That's my Jesus. That's the Jesus of the Bible. Do you know him? Some people have the idea that God is somehow fighting the universe, somehow fighting the earth, that he's against all of us and against the world. Now, why would he hate it and fight it if he owns it? Huh? How could that be true? Romans 8:28 is a verse that's often quoted. And it says, God works all things together for good to those who love him and who are the called according to his purpose. Good. He works all things together for good to those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. And we look out at our life and at our world and we see things that we don't think are good. And we say, how can that be? And I'll tell you, I don't know. But I know God and I know Jesus. And I don't know how it all works, but he does. And he's working it out. And I've had people ask me before, well, why is there evil in this world? If God is a good, loving God, then why did he allow evil? Well, there was no other way for us to have the ability to love. We had to have the ability to choose. And if you can't choose either good or evil, then how can you choose to love or not love? He had to give us free will. And with free will came man's decision to do evil. And evil entered into the world. Well, why couldn't God do it a different way? Because if he did it a different way, we'd all be robots. And we would be incapable of loving him or loving others. We wouldn't be able to make choices or decisions. There would be no free will. Jesus owns it all. And he's working it out. And he's working it out for good to those who love him and who answer his call to be born again believers. He knows what he's doing even if you and I don't understand it. He's got it figured out. My Jesus made all things and owns all things. Do you know him? Verse 17 says, and he is before all things. And by him all things consist. He's before all things. Well, that's what I told you a while ago. It just made sense that if he created it all, then he had to be here before all of it. Well, that's what our text tells us in Colossians 1:17. He was here before all things. Paul wasn't confused about using the word firstborn. He knew he was using it as a title and not as a description. It's just over the years, words change. You know, I can remember the first time I ever heard somebody use the word bad in the sense that they meant good. But words change meanings over the years. I've heard people say, that's a bad car. And they meant it's a really powerful car. Bad meaning good. Yeah, bad meaning good. Words change over the years. And so the understanding of words change over the years too. And that's why I'm telling you, the way that this word is understood by most of us when we hear the word firstborn is not the way that it was understood and used by the Apostle Paul and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit back 2,000 years ago. So firstborn does not mean he was created. Because he was here before anything else, before anything was created. Jesus is eternal. He's always existed, and he always will. I don't know about you, but when I first was thinking about God, I had a very difficult time with that concept. How could God have always existed? How could he have always been there? You see, we live in a world where everything has a beginning and an ending. And because of that, we're conditioned to believe that that's how everything is. Everybody we know was born and someday will die if Jesus doesn't come back and rapture them out of here. That's just the fact of life. We live and we die. But God is not like us. He is eternal. He's always existed. And just because we've been conditioned to believe that everything has a beginning and an end, doesn't mean that's how it is. We've been conditioned to believe some other things too over the years. And we find out when we grow up that babies don't come from storks. We find out a lot of things over the years, don't we? We were conditioned to believe that Santa Claus was the one who brought us presents at Christmas. And then one day, we kind of grew out of that. No, I won't spoil Christmas. But I'm just telling you, we are conditioned to believe certain things. But that doesn't mean that it's true simply because we've been conditioned to believe it. We're used to seeing everything have a beginning and an end. We're familiar with that. That's all we've experienced. That's all we've known physically. But Jesus is an eternal being, and he's outside of our knowledge and our experience. There's never been a time when Jesus did not exist, and there never will be. Now the Mormons, they think they have this figured out, because they say, as man is, God once was, and as God is, man shall become. That's their doctrine of exaltation. They're saying that you can become a god if you're good enough. And they're saying that this man, Elohim, who lived on a planet far, far away, was a very, named Kolob, the planet Kolob, that he lived a sinless life and was able then to be a god, and he came to this part of the universe and started planet Earth and started life on this planet. That's what they believe. Sounds reasonable at first, but you begin to think about it. So I asked a Mormon missionary, I ask him this all the time now, but I asked one time, I said, so tell me, where did Elohim's God come from? Oh, he had another God. Oh, yeah. Well, where did that God's God come from? Oh, he had another God. And so where did that one's God come from? He had another God. So you're telling me that there was one God after another God after another God after another God after another God? And what you're telling me then is that there was no beginning. You're telling me that you have all these gods who had a beginning, and yet they had no real beginning for them. There was no self-existent one who was truly eternal. I'll take the Bible, because in the Bible we have one who is self-existent, one God, self-existent, eternal, who created this world that is finite. And that makes logical sense. One who is outside of this finite world created this finite living and dying world that we live in, and he is not touched by it in the sense of it can't kill him, it can't hinder him. He owns it, he created it. One who is outside of time created time. Did you know time had a beginning? I mean, even the smartest scientists, the guys that see the farthest out there with their telescopes and all of that, will tell you that there was a beginning to our universe, and that there was some kind of explosion that blew outwards, and that all of these particles from the universe are still traveling outward. But it began in one simple, single place. Einstein was the first one to recognize that, and he called it the theory of general relativity. And he was real proud of himself that he'd come up with the theory of general relativity. That there was a beginning to the universe, therefore there was a beginning to time. And then it struck him that if there was an explosion, somebody had to pull the trigger. And that messed him up. Seriously, for the next 12 years, he tried to disprove his theory of general relativity and come up with a static theory whereby he could say that the universe had always existed. He couldn't do it. Based on the data, the universe had a beginning, and therefore the universe had to have had a beginner. Somebody who pulled the trigger, who got it all started. Somebody outside of time, who created time, who created matter, and created all that we can see and experience in our world today. And Colossians tells me, that's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. Do you know him? Do you know him? He is before all things. Last of all, I want to point you back to Colossians 1:17. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. My Jesus holds all things together. By him all things consist. That means he is the glue of the universe. That means if Jesus chose to stop holding it all together, we would be gone. We wouldn't go in a cloud of dust. There would be no dust. There would be nothing. If he quit holding it together, there would be nothing left. Jesus created it all, and he holds it all together. The creation would return to nothingness if he just turned it loose. If he withdrew his holy power, we would simply be gone. He is the divine glue that holds everything in its place. You know, I've talked to physicists before who were not able to describe why an atom stays together. Now, I don't understand it well enough to explain it to you, but they understood it, and they said, we can't tell you why it all holds together. And one physicist said, it is the Colossian principle. He based it all on this passage out of Colossians. Jesus holds it together. He holds the atoms together. He holds the universe together. By him, all things consist. He is the divine glue. My Jesus is the God that holds all things together. That's just how powerful he is. That's my Jesus. Do you know him? Do you know him? If you don't, you should. I'm going to finish this up next week. So I'm not going to continue on because we're getting a little bit late, and I'd like to continue preaching this. So I'm going to stop right there, and we'll continue this next week. But I want you to think about this during the week. Who is Jesus? And do I really know him? He's the one who came and died on the cross for us. He loved us that much. And he is all powerful. And he is all knowing. And he has always been here. He knew your dad, your granddad, your great-granddad, your great-great-granddad. He knows your whole family lineage, and he could tell you all about every last one of them. He knows them all. He knows the tendencies of your heritage. He knows if your family has a tendency towards alcoholism or towards drug abuse. He knows if your family has a tendency towards stealing or towards kindness. He knows all the tendencies of your family. He knows it all. And he still loves you. He loves you. He knows it all. There's nothing you can hide from him. He loves you so much that he died on the cross to pay for your sins. That's my Jesus. I sure hope you know him. Stand up.